श्री गुरु श्री गौरंगा भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः
from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 17th chapter, text number 31 and 32. Okay. I think what we have here is 32. So I will just read out 31.
Yaye tadava vasrujacharacharam samagayatma shtayaya vitarkyaya तयैवसों किल गोप्यमुद्यतः ततं मां धर्मपरो जिघांसति.
Translation and support by His Divine Grace, this is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. In the beginning of creation, you created all these moving and non-moving living entities by your inconceivable energy. Through this very same energy, you are now prepared to protect the living entities. Indeed, you are the supreme protector of religious principles. Why are you so anxious to kill me, even though I am in the form of a cow? Arpun, the planet Earth argues that there is no doubt that one who creates can also annihilate by his sweet will. The planet Earth questions why she should be killed when the Lord is prepared to give protection to everyone. After all, it is the Earth that is resting place for all other living entities. And it is the Earth that produces rains for them. Yeah, now we will recite this one, 32.
नूनं वपेशस्य समीहितं जनैः तन्मायया दुर्जयया कृतात्मभिः. न लक्ष्यते यस्त्वकरोपकारय
योनेकयेतः परतश्च ईश्वरः.
ಆತ್ಮನಂದಪೇಶಸ್ಯ ಸಮೇಹಿತಂ ಜನೈಃ ಮಾಯಯಾ ದುರ್ಜಯಯಾ ಕೃತಾತ್ಮಭಿಃ ನ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಯತೆ ಯಸ್ತ್ವಪರೋಪಕಾರಯ ಯೋನೇಕಯೇಕ ಪರತಶ್ಚ ಈಶ್ವರಃ ನೋನಂದಪೇಶಸ್ಯ ಸಮೇಹಿತಂ ಜನೈಃ ಯಯಾ ದುರ್ಜಯಯಾ ಕೃತಾತ್ಮಭಿಃ ನ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಯತೆ ಯಸ್ತ್ವಪರೋಪಕಾರಯ ಯೋನೇಕ ಏಕ ಪರತಶ್ಚ ಈಶ್ವರಃ
ವೈಷ್ಣವೀಸ್, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Samihitam, activities plan. Janaihi, by people. Tatmayaya, by his potency. Durjayaya, which is unconquerable. Akrita Atmabihi, who are not sufficiently experienced. No, never. Lakshyate, or seen. Yaha, he who. Tu, then. Akaro, created. Akarayat, caused to create. Yaha, one who. Anekaha, many. Ekaha, one. Parataha, by his inconceivable potencies. Cha and Ishwaraha, controller. Translation and purport by his divine grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Lord, although you are one, by your inconceivable potencies, you have expanded yourself in many forms. Through the agency of Brahma, you have created this universe. You are therefore directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are not sufficiently experienced cannot understand your transcendental activities because these persons are covered by your illusory energy. Purport: God is one, but He expands Himself in a variety of energies, the material energy, the spiritual energy, the marginal energy, and so forth. Unless one is favored and especially endowed with grace, he cannot understand how one Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through his different energies. The living entities are also the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is also one of these living entities, but he is especially empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Brahma is supposed to be the creator of this universe, actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is its ultimate creator. In this verse, the word Mayaya is significant. Maya means energy. Lord Brahma is not the energetic, but is one of the manifestations of the Lord's marginal energy. In other words, Lord Brahma is only an instrument. Although sometimes plans appear contradictory, there is a definite plan behind all action. One who is experienced and is favored by the Lord can understand that everything is being done according to the Lord's supreme plan. Om Ajnanat Virandasya Jnanamjanishtalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sthapitam Yena Dhutale Svayam Dhupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sadradatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Sadadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Nena Gandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Takta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Karajyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayegacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. This verse talks about something appearing contradictory. On one hand, I feel very privileged to have the opportunity to be sitting here and sharing something from Srimad Bhagavatam with all of you. On the other hand, I feel extremely embarrassed to be speaking in such an august assembly of many senior Vaishnavas. So sometimes, as Srila Prabhupada says here, he says, sometimes the plans appear contradictory, large plants appears contradictory. So similarly, we can sometimes feel the tussle of emotions in our heart also, and the contradiction is resolved by the Lord Himself, as well as in the understanding given in the Shastra, which we will discuss today. With my Yatha Shruti, Yatha Mati, I will try to speak something on this beautiful purport after having taken blessings of all the wonderful Vaishnavas here. He is saying, unless one is favored especially and especially endowed with grace, he cannot understand how the One Supreme Lord acts through His different energies. The Shastras often speak about looking for the essence behind externals. The gross material vision means to always see the externals. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, when he was passing by, he was stoned by children and some women and old people. They thought, this fellow is nude and he is a madman. And as he passed and came to the assembly of sages and saints in the banks of the Ganges, and then all these people got to see that this personality is put on an elevated seat and thousands of people were assembled to hear from him, then they understood who he was. So externally he appeared like a madman. In fact, even Chitraketu, while addressing Angira Muni and Narada Muni, he is telling them that you, both of you, tasmat ivam gramya pashu mama moodha diya prabhu, while telling them about his own fallen situation, he is telling them that you people look like as if you are mad externally, but you purposely put this type of garb in order to not be respected by all, not be glorified by all. You appear as if you are mad, but you can be misunderstood by people. But you are actually very enlightened, very exalted. So the exalted nature of Shukadeva Goswami was not known to these people. Similarly, you find when Prahlad was passing through the forest after he became a king, he got to see a particular Avadhuta Brahmana lying with a big belly and a hefty body, lying on the ground. If I were to see that Avadhuta Brahmana, probably I would think he is just eating and sleeping. You know, he is a bum or something. He is a lazy bum or something. But when Prahlad saw, he said, you seem to be having no work to do. And since you are very fatty, and you are lying peacefully in this place, I can easily understand that Lord Narayana is protecting you, he said. Lord Narayana is supplying all your needs. And he could very easily see that this Avadhuta Brahmana is not just a person who is eating and sleeping, but who is actually a very exalted personality. And Avadhuta Brahmana was actually practicing vow of silence. So he wasn't intending to speak to anyone. But when he saw Prahlad, he spoke out. He told Prahlad. Prahlad was the king of the whole world at that time. Still not bothering too much about his upadhi designation of Prahlad, he paid attention to Prahlad being a devotee of Lord Narayana. So he told Prahlad, as such I don't speak to anyone, but when I see you, I feel like speaking to you. Because by speaking to an exalted soul like you, I desire my own purification, he said. Because I can see that you are a devotee of Lord Narayana, speaking to you will benefit me. So in this way, both of them are seeing each other as devotees of Narayana. He doesn't see him as some lazy bum, he doesn't see him as a king. So they are transcending the material limitations or barriers and seeing each other as devotees of the Supreme Lord. So we could give innumerable examples from the Shastras like this, like how Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they met each other, they transcended the bodily designations. One was a Dvijasreshtha, he was a Yatiraj, king among sannyasis, high-class Brahmana, and worshipable by all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is embracing Ramananda Raya, who was a governor of Madras, and you know, who was a Grihastha, and who was surrounded by ministers and many other people at that time. In those days, in the community, if a sannyasi and such a governor were embracing each other, people would misunderstand. And that's what we see there, how Brahmanas, who were smartha Brahmanas, who had superficial vision, they at once got bewildered. And that is not at all unnatural. People who are Bahirmukha Jivas, those who are, it's called Bahirmukha Jana. Bahirmukha Jan means those who go by the externals and they give too much importance to externals without seeing the essence behind externals. Now here, he says, he cannot understand how the Supreme God acts through his different energies. For example, some people think they are very intelligent, very advanced. One class of people called Arya Samajis. They say that we are so scientific, we don't believe in the Murti Puja. We believe in God, but we don't believe in Murti Puja. Why do you worship this? This kind of idol or something like that. Although, even in Bible, Jesus condemns worshipping graven images. Still, at that time people had brought different kinds of images of different animals, birds and things like that, and everybody was worshipping something on their own, something concocted. So Jesus condemned that. But the Shastras prescribed worshipping the Murti of Lord Vishnu. Prabhupada in one of his lectures says, you see, there is a marble on the ground, and there is a marble deity on the altar. What is the difference? It is like a bunch of newspaper you may throw in a corner and a currency note which you will keep on your in a pocket very carefully. A dollar note or currency note will not be littered here and there by anybody. Maybe foolish children may do that, but a wise man will not do that. So the deity form of the Lord, as Lord himself promises in the scriptures, if one worships the deity form with Shraddha, with Bhakti, eventually one's vision goes from mundane to transcendental vision. Like the mundane vision of an ordinary jiva is Jada Buddhi, it is called. Jada. It's called as Jada Mati. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the Jaiva Dharma, three levels of drishti he explains. He says, Jadamaya, Manomaya, Chinmaya, darshan of the Vigraha. Like our boys had come a couple of years ago here, so we went to Gurukul, so they were asking questions to the children. So one of the boys asked, have you seen Krishna? And the small Gurukul boy said, yes, I have seen. So where did you see Krishna? So the boy said, every morning I see. He said, where is he? Don't you see? Shri Radha Madhav, the morning, they are giving darshan. And then our student was telling the child, but that is Murti. I am asking, have you seen actual Krishna? So immediately the child responded, the Shri Vigraha of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. How can you call it a mere Murti? Shri Radha Madhav, who are standing there, they are Sakshat Krishna. And at once all the intellectual B-techs and M-techs, they were defeated by one small boy. Actually, this one small boy could induce faith in the hearts of so many students by his Shraddha and the Murti. So, due to our mundane vision, we see the Murti to be made of stone or wood or something like that. Actually, if you very carefully observe, a man who is attracted to a woman, or a woman attracted to a man, they see each other's body with a certain type of vision which makes them become attracted to one another. See, from a physics point of view, what is there in a man's body or a woman's body? It's all atoms and molecules. You see, from that point of view, nobody will be attracted. Imagine, suddenly Krishna gives you a microscopic vision. And the more you see only atoms and molecules floating in that body. So nobody will be attracted. So in the same manner, when we see the deity, one may even touch and say, this is made of stone or wood. That is from a certain vision. But if one becomes elevated in consciousness, then one can go to the manomaya stage. Manomaya is not some mental concoction. Manomaya stage is a stage of seeing the Lord in one's mind, the Lord's form which you have already seen before. Like if you have seen the Sri Vigraha before, Lord appears in your dream, or the Lord comes in your, in the eye of your mind, even before you enter the temple hall. That is manomaya. That can only come when one becomes more and more fond of serving the Supreme Lord. So a Madhyama Adhikari sees from manomaya stage. And dhyayen manomayam atandrita ullasagru. Kapila also says this, that we should, a yogi should be able to see the form of the Lord in his mind, the authorized form of the Lord in the mind. And then chinmaya stage is a very advanced stage. Chinmaya stage is a stage where a person sees the deity and Lord will speak to him. And he can speak to Lord also back. It's a very advanced stage. So such personalities have very fine-tuned consciousness. So for them the material world with all its variety goes to the background and the Lord comes to the forefront. Just like in a computer sometimes you say bring to front, take to back. So the jada or the matter with all its material variety goes to background and the Lord is so prominently present for the devotee. Then Lord speaks to the devotee and yes, with exalted devotees Lord speaks. That's what Prabhupada is saying here, unless one is favored and especially endowed with grace, he cannot understand how the one Supreme Lord acts through his different energies. Somebody may say, this is matter, how can God appear from matter? But Lord Narasimha appeared from a pillar. Who are the parents of Narasimha Dev? Narasimha Dev has no parents. Suddenly the pillar broke and out came the Lord. In the same manner, at one time, when all the demigods assembled due to fear of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, at that time, even Brahma could not arrive at a solution how to save the situation of the universe. At that time, suddenly from his nose something came out. It became thumb size. It became wrist size. Then it became this much size and they all saw. They thought maybe some demon. They didn't know who it was. It was actually Varahadev. And then Lord splashed some water on all those sages and saints and demigods assembled there. And then they smelled the fragrant rose-scented waters from coming from Lord's body. Immediately they got the favor of the Lord. They understood this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they offered the precious of the prayers to him. So, in this way, we can see that even muhyanti at suraya, demigods can be bewildered also. Even up to the level of Brahma, they can't know who Krishna is, how he can manifest from the nose, how he can manifest from a pillar, or how he can manifest from a murti form. That is why, when we are Vaishnavas, in Vaishnava circles, there are many things which are apparently jada, apparently ordinary from a material point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, they are considered very valuable. Arche Vishnu Shiladir Guru Shunaramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi Vishnorva Vaishnavanam Kalimala Matane Pada Tirtembu Buddhi. He says many things like this. Arche Vishnu, the worshipable deity, should be seen as Lord, not as an ordinary doll. Arche Vishnu Shila Guru Shunaramatir, one should not see the body of the spiritual master to be mundane or ordinary. One may think he is also eating, he is sleeping, he is doing activities like me or anyone else. Once His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj was explaining about how the body of a Vaishnava becomes spiritual. So he was telling, like the iron rod put in fire, when the Sarup Shakti Srimati Radharani infuses the heart of a Vaishnava with devotional attitude, devotional disposition, and that iron rod becomes like red hot and yellow hot and white hot eventually, being in the fire. Similarly, when Radharani's mercy pervades the heart of a Vaishnava, gradually the Vaishnava's bodily limbs cannot do any activity other than Krishna's service. And also the bodily limitations are transcended also. One's eating, one's sleeping, one's activities. And similarly, gradually the heart also becomes golden. Gradually becomes spiritualized. So he said, once the gross and subtle bodies are spiritualized, like an iron rod put in fire becomes fiery. A fiery rod can also be called fire, because it can act like fire. That is why the body should be considered spiritual, he was telling. So, Guru Shunaramatir, Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, seeing the external caste, creed, color of Vaishnavas and criticizing, which is also considered offensive. One should not see those things. Like the Ashtavakra, when he came into the assembly of Janaka, he appeared like he was having 8 twists in his body, and everybody laughed. And he told Janaka, how are your people so mean-minded that they cannot actually see the Atma Tattvam? They are seeing the external body, you see. So, in this way many things are said. Vaishnava Jati Buddhi. Vishnorva Vaishnavanam Kalimala Mathane Pada Tirthembu Buddhi. Which means, the water that has washed the feet of a Vaishnava or the Lord, Charanamrita. Sometimes people take 1 or 2 glasses of Charanamrita. Not that they have fallen in love with the Lord or something. They have fallen in love with their tongue. So, the Charanamrita should actually be accepted, remembering that this is emanating from the Lord's lotus feet, or it is emanating from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. You see, like I hail from South India. In South India, when we are smart Brahmanas, you know, if somebody has eaten and you have to eat from their plate something, it is considered extremely abominable. Uchishta, you say, Uchishta means the remnants. So, even while eating, there are many rules that you have to follow. You cannot touch the food with your left hand, if you are eating with the right hand. Yeah, in case you do that, you have to go and wash your hands and come. There are many rules for what is pure, what is impure. What to speak of eating from someone's plate after half eating, to take from that and eating, it's considered very impure from a Brahminical point of view. But when a Vaishnava eats prasad, and his remnants are left, that becomes very powerful, because there is a lot of mercy. If one eats the remnants left behind by a Vaishnava, then one's heart becomes infused with devotion. So this can be understood only by another Vaishnava. Smart Brahmanas cannot understand this. Similarly, the water washing the feet of a Vaishnava appears mundane. And one may drink it, one may sprinkle it on one's head. Or the dust from the feet of a Vaishnava. So, these are all pure substances which can offer one very swift advancement in spiritual life. Although from a mundane point of view, faithless people may not believe in them, or faithless people may even blaspheme them. So it is not spoken in assembly of faithless, mundane wranglers, mundane speculators. These are actually spoken only for the Vaishnava devotees. So Lord can appear through all these agents, like the flower. You smell the flower, all the material diseases will be destroyed. The flowers that are offered to Lord Vishnu. Somebody may say, how can you just smell and achieve it? Of course, it has to be done with faith. You will always find in the scriptures, Shraddhanvita anushrunuyat atavarna yedya. We should be heard with Shraddha, we should be spoken with Shraddha, then it will have the effect that is promised. So, then the question arises, where will the Shraddha come? Shraddha can only come from those who have Shraddha. So one has to borrow shraddha from one who has shraddha. And then one has to actually, like a bank collects money, like that we have to collect shraddha from various Vaishnavas who have shraddha in different things. Somebody has shraddha for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, somebody has shraddha for the three potent items, which we said just now, like that. And for that we have to put aside our false ego and be willing to associate with Vaishnavas and take help by the principle of Guhyama Khyati Prichati. Generally, when we don't have faith in someone or something, we rationalize it. We justify it. Rationalize means rationalize. Also, rationalizing means using our intelligence to prove what the false ego is thinking. That means using intelligence in the service of false ego. That is rationalizing. So that kind of attitude will not give one shraddha at all. That is why a related point which comes later here also, one who is experienced and is favored by the Lord can understand that everything is being done according to the Lord's supreme plan. We have our own idea of, you know, how things should happen. We have a small box. Everything that fits in the box, we say that, wonderful. Krishna is so nice. Krishna is so wonderful. Why Krishna is nice? Because he is fitting in my box. Like Prabhupada quoted about Gandhi. Like Gandhi said, I like Lord Ramachandra more. He said, why? Because Lord Ram fits within my box of morality. Like he accepted only one wife and he faithfully fulfilled his parents' desires. He was the ideal king. So Gandhi had a conception of how God must be, according to me. And because he fitted in that, he accepted him as God. You see? And then when it came about Krishna, you know, Gandhi's understanding went haywire. He just couldn't fit Krishna at all. Because Krishna's activities cannot be understood very easily by our speculative mind. We need, like you see, some people think, you know, Krishna is partial towards devotees and envious of demons. This is a very important point to know. God is never envious. If somebody has little doubts about Krishna's attitude towards demons, that suspicion will put a big stumbling block in our progress in spiritual life. You see, like a mother giving a loving slap to a child, the Lord also punishes the demons to bring them to the right track. Lord has no envy for them at all. In fact, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the Kaurava Sena men, when they were watching Lord Krishna, they felt two types of emotions. One was they felt great attraction towards the beauty of Krishna. But another feeling was they had an indirect appreciation of both Pandavas and Krishna for their chivalrous nature. Indirect appreciation means envy. Then envy comes in one's heart, they fear. The fear arises out of indirect appreciation. So, indirectly in their hearts they were appreciating Krishna, but on one hand directly they were feeling envious. So envy is a negative element. Appreciation is a positive element. So, when Parthastra Puta, the word is used. Partha means Arjuna. Partha Astra Putaha, when Arjuna's arrows pierce their bodies, the envy they felt in their heart for Krishna became nullified. And what remained? Those who were neutral, they went to Brahma Jyoti. Those who had a positive appreciation of Krishna in Aishwarya Bhav, they went to Vaikuntha. And those who had appreciation for Krishna in Madhurya Bhav, they went to Golok. So each of them according to whatever positive thing they had. So in this way, everyone who saw Krishna became liberated from the battlefield. So how can we say Krishna is envious? Krishna, through the agency of Arjuna, arranged for their envious component to be removed and made sure that they all go back to Godhead. How can Krishna be considered envious? You know, when Putana was killed by Krishna, when her body was cut into pieces and burnt, it was giving out fragrance, isn't it? How can a demoness's body give out such fragrance without Krishna's transcendental touch? So, just like you put odonil in a latrine or somewhere. immediately the latent becomes fragrant. Similarly, Krishna's touch made the body of Putana fragrant. And even in this world, what to speak of her future destination, she was made the nurse of Yashoda, a nurse assisting Yashoda in the spiritual world. So that is why Uddhava is admiring Krishna's mercy, kambadayalam sharanam prajema. Who else will I take shelter, like that he says. So, one has to hear from Vaishnavas and Shastra about such doubts like this, and one has to clear up one's misconceptions about the plan of the Lord. The Lord's plan sometimes may be deciphered, may be explained by somebody, and sometimes we cannot understand why he does what he does. It may not fit in our box of understanding. Then we should put it in another box called as inconceivable box and be satisfied if we are really sincere. I cannot understand it. My immediate friends cannot clarify it. Maybe there may be some Vaishnava who will be able to give an explanation to this. Maybe someday in future, if Krishna wills, he will arrange me to meet such a Vaishnava and I will get it clarified. But I am convinced that whatever Krishna does, it is a perfect plan. There is no mistake in it. Like in Portland, off Portland, 50 miles from Portland, there was one Mr. Dosa working in some university. So Mr. Dosa's wife was not a devotee, but he was becoming a devotee. So he came to LA and met Srila Prabhupada, and he begged for initiation. And he would ask questions to Prabhupada, very intelligent questions. Once he asked Srila Prabhupada about, Swamiji, if all souls were happy in the spiritual world, why should one leave the spiritual world and come to the material world? Which is a very generally asked question, typical question. So Prabhupada said, what is the difficulty in understanding? Sometimes you see even in an ISKCON temple, somebody lives, and at some time they want to have some independent program, they go away. And then they go into the material world and do so many things. Again they come back sometimes. So Prabhupada said, even in our society we can see people, sometimes Krishna conscious and sometimes Maya conscious. Although in temple you may get prasad, you may get devotees, you may get association, you may get everything, still the whimsical mind sometimes doesn't want Krishna consciousness, he said. Similarly, the jiva has left spiritual world and come here, like the Prabhupada said. See, Prabhupada gave different type of answers. So this is one type of answer he gave. And Prabhupada liked him. And eventually Mr. Dosa became initiated by Prabhupada and became Ramaranjan Das Prabhu. But something strange happened within a week after initiation. When he and his sons were children, they were going in a car, there was a terrible accident and Ramaranjan Das passed away. But his children survived, but they were all asleep actually during the accident. They didn't even know. And not even a scratch they got in their bodies. And they were saved. And Mrs. Dosa broke down to tears. Although she used to vehemently protest against his Krishna consciousness before, now she came to the temple to meet Prabhupada and she was weeping, and Prabhupada pacified her, told her that your husband was a wonderful devotee. He will surely get the body of a devotee in the next life, wherever he is. And later on Prabhupada wrote a letter to Dhanavir Maharaj. In that letter Prabhupada says, you see, whatever Krishna does is always perfect. So he said, Mr. Dosa, he comes from a Muslim family. So when he took initiation from me, there was a terrible opposition from the family. Besides that, his wife was a non-devotee and she was a Scandinavian lady. And she was already trying to adjust with her husband. In the course of that, when she saw he's a devotee, it was becoming too much for her, he said. And his job was very far away from the association of devotees. So he was not getting any association there. And the job was a very strenuous job, taking a lot of his energy and time. He was unable to practice. And all his colleagues were opposed to his Krishna consciousness also. They were trying to divert him from it. So in this way, Prabhupada said, all the situations were unfavorable for him to practice Krishna consciousness. So Krishna has taken him away. And Prabhupada said, I am very confident that Krishna will put him in a situation where he will be born in the family of a devotee. And he will be continuing wonderfully. So, and then Dhanavir Maharaj read out to all the devotees and they were peaceful after that. So, sometimes it is very difficult for one to comprehend when Aindra Prabhu left his body, it caused great pain to all devotees worldwide. It was very painful. So I was revealing my mind to one senior devotee. I said, Aindra Prabhu is one of my favorites. I used to meet him personally and talk to him and learn many things from him. And it is so painful not only to see that he has left the body, but to see the way he left the body. It was very painful. So that senior devotee gave me an understanding which pacified my heart. So he asked me, imagine if, he didn't say about Aindra Prabhu, but he said in general about a Vaishnava. Imagine if there is a Vaishnava who is very popular, very famous, well-known, internationally renowned figure. Everybody has love and respect for him. But suddenly, imagine if he is heading in a direction where he is about to face a fall down with some opposite sex, with some woman or something. So he asked me a question. Would you like to see him alive, but after having fallen down? And he continues in a fallen position for another 20 years. Or would you like him to leave his body and then that leaving of the body causes him such excruciating pain or whatever it is, but that nullifies the kama karma bij, the desire seeds in his heart. It is vanquished completely. And then he is liberated from that situation and he takes another body elsewhere as a Vaishnava. And he continues without having to fall down. So he asked me, in your case, which one would you prefer? Yeah. I said, I would prefer to leave the body, I said. Because I had heard a song in South India and the Sri Vaishnava, the one particular song they sing, they say, my dear Lord, destroy my moha, otherwise take away my life. Out of the two, which is better? If I cannot destroy my moha, illusion, better you take away my life. He prays like that. You stop my breathing. Because I don't want to fall away from my, fall down from my character, from my, I don't want to be deviated away from you. So when he told me this, he said, Lord's plans are inconceivable. But the word Sammam Bonam means all good. Bonam means what? Sammam Bonam means the Lord is so perfectly good, there is not even an iota of any impurity in Him. There is not even an iota of envy in the Lord. There is not even an iota of mistake in Him. Like, you know, recently, probably a month ago, when I had gone to Bombay Temple, they told me to speak on a topic called nature. Should we love nature or should we fear nature? This was especially after the Japanese tsunami event and the nuclear reactor problems and all that. So they were asking, should we love nature or should we fear nature? Because on one hand, nature is so beautiful. You know, there is lushy green forest, there are blooming flowers. You know, William Wordsworth wrote a poem, Daffodils, appreciating the nature. On the other hand, sometimes you go for a camp, sitting in the garden. Garden is so beautiful. Shh, serpent comes. Suddenly you realize, my Lord, nature is not so beautiful. Even how the Pandavas lived in the forest for so many years. Night, so many crickets and all kinds of insects attack you. Night. And also not only that, there are tsunamis, there are earthquakes, there are tornadoes. So they make us become fearful of nature. You go to a sandy beach of an ocean. Oh, it is so nice to relax. The waves cause so much peace of mind. But then the very same waves can become cruel in the form of tsunami. So should we fear? So Prabhupada says in one place, people appreciate nature and they forget God behind nature. Not only that, some people appreciate nature but they deny God. That is even worse. It is not only just forgetting God. But a devotee suddenly appreciates nature in relation to Krishna, because he knows that nature is orchestrated by Krishna. Whether nature is behaving horribly or nature is behaving in a way pleasing to us, it is orchestrated by Krishna for our ultimate good. That a devotee is completely convinced. Everybody knows a large pat or large beat. There is no difference. Large lap or large slap. Both are same. There is no difference. Actually, large beating is also favorable for the devotee. It's good for the devotee. Actually, devotee has no karma at all. Lord creates fresh karma for the devotee by inducing suffering for a devotee who is deviating or who is likely to deviate. He creates suffering. But one example I would like to conclude. Once I saw one of my tours, I happened to see a monkey was sitting on a tree along with its small monkey offspring. So somebody threw a chapati or something to a dog, down the tree. And a big bulldog was standing. And this small monkey thought that the mother monkey has not seen it. So the small monkey was showing, looking at the mother, like that he was showing. And the mother monkey also saw it. He said, okay, just keep quiet. Because she knew that if you go down, then that dog may attack, Dog may attack and tear our body. So he said, keep quiet. But the child monkey wasn't aware, he wasn't understanding. Again and again he was showing. But the mother monkey said, keep quiet. Then the child monkey started slowly moving. And the mother monkey took his tail and pulled him back and kept him by his side. Be here. But in the meantime, the mother monkey became busy with something and turned around and saw the child monkey had gone too far away, almost close to going down. The mother monkey jumped up and caught hold of his neck and brought him back and gave him such a big slap, pat, one slap he gave. Next moment the child monkey leaning on the mother monkey's back, he went to sleep. So it was a very amazing lesson to learn from this mother and child monkey. You see, Krishna does the same thing with his devotees. When he sees that the devotees want to play with Maya, or they are going in a wrong direction foolishly because they have a sense of not adventure but foolhardiness. Opposite of adventure is foolhardiness. In the name of having idle curiosity, they want to play with something which is deadly for them, then Krishna may give us a slap and take us, keep us with him, and then we may come to our senses. So Krishna's plan is inconceivable sometimes, but we can be assured that it is always for our ultimate good. So, proper saying in the purport here, that we should learn to see the essence behind externals, that Lord can appear through material things also, very easily, although they may apparently appear to be material. At the same time, proper also says that the plans of the Lord are inconceivable, but one requires the favor and mercy of the Lord to understand. Just like Gopinatha Acharya told Sarvam Bhattacharya. He told him that unless one is favored by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cannot achieve success. So he asked, Bhattacharya asked him, then how do you say that you have achieved that mercy? He said, the proof is that the genuine knowledge of Krishna consciousness, if you are getting in your life and you are becoming positively affected by it, that means you are favored by the grace of the Supreme Lord. If you are very rich, but if you are very humbly engaged in Krishna service, like our Ambarish Prabhu here in POVP, so that is a sign of causeless mercy has come upon him. If somebody is very popular, like George Harrison, but yet in front of a pure devotee he is humbling himself, that is a sign of causeless mercy. And because Prabhupada gave his ring to him through another devotee. So that is even a very practical expression of Prabhupada's love and mercy upon George Harrison. Similarly, somebody is very learned, very advanced, either materially, spiritually, in all respects. But if one is completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, it is only the causeless mercy. And so we come. Vantrakshima Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada Vinda ki. Thank you very much. You have a question? Thanks, indeed. So I can go till 9, is it? Question answer.
Prabhuji, you are mentioning how we should accept everything as the plan of the Lord. Here we see that Bhumi Devi is praying to the Lord for protection. But there is another example of Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't pray for protection, he just took it, accepted it as mercy. But Bhumi Devi, instead of just surrendering, okay, kill me, she is saying, okay, no, please protect me. So, are both equally correct, or, if Maharaj Parikshit is better, then how do we develop that attitude?
Actually, the Bhumi, Bhumi is called Vasudha, Vasudha Yeva Kutumbakam. It is said, in all the Jivarashis, they survive on Vasudha only, on Bhumi. So, Bhumi is compared to a cow, and she actually can take the shape of a cow. The Bhuma Devi or Bhu Devi, she can take the shape of a cow. Like a cow gives milk, that is useful for all purposes. For performing yajna, you need ghee, you need milk, you have dahi, you know, you have butter, and you can make some 250 items from milk products. So, in the same manner, the Bhumi, later on we will see how she is providing for all the necessities of the living beings. So, her wanting to be not killed by Prithu Maharaj and wanting to serve the Jivarashis, I don't see any contradiction in that, because she wants to survive for serving the living entities who are surrendered to Vishnu. And her reason for not supplying is also valid, because she says that all of them became chori bhute, she says. They became thieves and they are rooting grains from me and not offering havishana to Lord. Rather they are eating and they are becoming plumpy and stout and they are engaging in sinful activities. So they are becoming a big bahar for me, weight for me. You see, if there are 100 devotees living in a room, imagine one thief is present in the same room. How many people will suffer? Practically all 99 will suffer. Is it not true? Just one thief, you see. Similarly for Bhumi, she doesn't feel the mountains and oceans to be heavy. No. But she finds even one thief to be heavy, because that fellow can create trouble potentially for the whole world. So, one of her desires is that she wants to get rid of the thieves with the help of King Prithu. And once the thieves are eradicated, she is willing to supply her services for all the Jivarashis. And what was lacking at that time was a righteous king. Now she is telling, you are a righteous king and I am capable of providing for everybody. If we both combine, then the whole world can benefit. And if you kill me, then all the living entities will suffer. Although you have the power to kill me, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prithu also is explained like that. So if you kill me, then all living entities will suffer also. And I will die and they will suffer. And how will you accomplish your purpose of being the king who is supposed to do welfare activities for all? Neither she is asking. So it's a very valid question. Of course, with respect to Parikshit's death, Parikshit didn't ask, but the Shaunakada Rishis asked. They asked a question to Sutta Goswami that Parikshit was acting as a shelter for all living beings. How can a person who acts as a shelter for others desire his own death? In fact, even if he has to die, he should stop himself from dying, because his body is not meant for his own purpose. It's meant for others' welfare. So, like that they were asking the question. But Parikshit himself, his attitude was very high class. What he told was, even before he came to know about Sringi's Brahma Shap, even before he knew about it, he said, repentance comes in the heart of a good soul, Prabhupada says. So when he returned to palace, he said, I think I have committed a blunder. May some Brahma Shap come upon me. Let it not come on my family members, let it come upon myself. Let me lose all my kingdom and everything. So this he declared even before he got the news. So Prabhupada says, is a very, very exalted soul. And he's a pure devotee of the Lord. Like Shukadeva Goswami is pure devotee, Parikshit also is a pure devotee. So, in my understanding, I would consider these two examples to be in two different contexts, and that they could not be compared with one another. Like for example, the Goswamis were called, they were going for Madhukari. They decided they would go to door for Madhukari in Vrindavan, and they were eating. Now there is one category of Vaishnavas called Ayachita Vritti, like Madhavendra Puri. But we should never compare them. We don't compare Ayachika or Ajgar Vritti Abhadutas or Ayachaka Vritti, Brahmana, they are in same category. We should not compare them with the Madhukari Goswamis. Because ultimately both of them are Krishna conscious. And doing Madhukari is not prohibited by the Lord. And doing Madhukari for one's survival is not considered an inferior form of surrender to Ayachaka Vritti. So we don't compare them. Because both are engaged in Lord's service. Now it's 9 o'clock. I don't want to delay all of you. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.